The Christmas story, I love it. So many of us have heard the Christmas story. We've read it. We've watched it portrayed in shows, movies like this one. We've watched it in plays and musicals. In this Christmas season, we're going to present it in a little bit different way. Each Sunday, we're going to do a different color. And so there's going to be green, red, gold, and white, which I guess really isn't a color, but it serves our purpose. And this week is green. There it is. Yes. The light man is just fantastic. Okay. So the story of Jesus is one that really has no beginning, and it really has no end. And he's the third person of the Trinity, the Son of God. I was raised in the Catholic Church, and so I know Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I've known that from a long time ago. So he's the third person of the Trinity of God. Jesus is God. He's the Son of God. But for a brief moment in our history, Jesus was in bodily form here on earth and for about 30 years. And he was born like every one of us as a baby with the peculiar distinction that his mother was a virgin. And of course, not every child is born in a stable that's built for animals and built for livestock. He would forever change how we would see our future because of this baby that was born so many years ago. So Jesus brought many beautiful things into this world, but there was one thing in particular: the opportunity for us to have new life. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is new life, green, new life. New life is to leave our lives of sin and sadness, because at some point, if you have sin, then the sadness will follow at some point. And to look forward to living forever with joy and peace. So this was, and it is, new life. And the Christmas story begins with something miraculous, something heavenly, something divine. A young girl by the name of Mary was to be married to a man named Joseph. And before they were married, she was found to be pregnant. And the Bible says that Joseph was a good man, and he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. And many of us know that back in those days, the Jewish custom was that engagement was a legally binding commitment. So it was as if they were married. And so he meant to divorce her quietly, which is what he would have had to have done. Okay, so then something wonderful took place. Joseph received a very special visitor. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would illuminate within us the Word of God, Lord. Make it a light this morning, Lord, to our minds, to our spirit, Lord God, and this truth of being saved from our sins, and that's what you came here to do. So, Lord, we want to give you this time. Lord, we can't do anything of value in this life without you, and without the Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, just be with us in these next moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So what does it mean that he's going to save his people from their sins? Many of us can answer this question pretty easily, I think. Some of us may not be able to. I know I would not have been able to before I became a Christian. So as many of you know, as I mentioned earlier, I was raised Catholic. Being Catholic meant that I went to catechism. Catechism is sort of like a Sunday school or Wednesday night class, and you learn about the Catholic Church. You learn the liturgy. You learn the beliefs. So I went through the whole thing, catechism. And then, as a part of going through that, I was an altar boy. Now, I was an altar boy a long time, and here's why I was an altar boy a long time. It's because church was so boring to me as a kid. It was just, you know, it was the same every week. I'm not putting it down. There's people that really relate to that. But as a kid, I just, you know, and they didn't have kid stuff. So it was like, you know, it was the same thing every week, you know, except for the little message, the homily that would be given. So I was the altar boy a long time. So those gowns that they had, you know, those gowns that would go down to the floor, I was an altar boy so long that mine became like a mini skirt. But after going through all these catechism classes and learning about the liturgy of the church, serving with the priest and usually another altar boy, usually, as long as there was another guy available, I really didn't understand, nor did I really care about the fact that I needed to be saved from my sins, or that I needed a Savior. And this is the state that most people in the world are in today. They either don't know or they don't care that they have sin in their lives. They're blinded from the truth. They haven't, their minds haven't been, as I said earlier, illuminated, or they don't have the mind of Christ. They don't know. You know, they're blinded. They have not recognized their need for God, which every one of us needs to. And just a little side note, if you're praying for somebody, either a friend, relative, whatever, and your heart's just breaking because of their lives, you know, if you're going to pray for somebody, God's going to bring them to a point of need. Now, things might get really bad, but just remember, many of you had to be brought to a point of need where you were like, I can't do this on my own. I need God because I'm such a mess. So just keep praying. Just keep believing. If you start praying for somebody, things might start to get bad. They probably will in their life because God is working and He wants to turn their life around. Okay, so Isaiah chapter 57 verse 15 says this, "For this is what the High and Exalted One says, He who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit." And let me just stop there for a moment. What God is saying is, yes, He's awesome. He's beyond what we can imagine God is. He's high, but He reaches down to the low, see? He reaches down to you and those that are lowly. So God, it's wonderful. And to move on, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. So God is holy, which means He is perfect. He's set apart. There's no trace of evil in Him. There's only goodness and righteousness. He's without sin. So we have a dilemma. Because if God is holy and where He resides is holy, then what are we to do? Because we're not on our own. We have sin. We have, we make mistakes, we make bad choices, we're not perfect. So how does this work? How are we going to live where He lives? How are we going to be in heaven? And this is where the true meaning of Christmas comes in, because the babe in the manger, who is Christ the Lord, He came to save us from our sins, that we might be holy. Through His sacrifice, His eventual sacrifice on the cross. That's how we are made holy, you know. And that means that we can have everlasting life. That means that we can live forever. Really, really. And not just hope, but to know that we're going to walk from this life to the next. Won't that be cool? Can't wait for that. That's going to be a great moment. Yeah. Okay. So that's what it means to be saved from our sins. Isaiah 53:6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So like many of us, when I was young, I went astray from God. And I'm going to share some of my story. Like many of you guys, I got all kinds of stories. And probably because I made a lot of stupid choices in my life, okay? Some of it was my fault. A lot of it was my fault. Some of it wasn't. But, you know, and if some of it is repeat for some of you, sorry about that. But hopefully the pieces that I've chosen will tell the story and will tell the goal is to see how God was with me through it all. And I think a lot of you can relate to what I'm going to share with you. So I went astray from God when I was young, and I never really knew God, okay? I just knew about him from the Catholic Church, so I thank the Catholic Church for that. I didn't recognize my need for God. I was just trying to figure life out, as most people are today. They're trying to figure it all out, and so they've got that need, that God hole in them, which many of them don't realize that that's what's there, but they're always trying to figure it out, right? You know, so we got all different kinds of answers for this question. And we all have tough experiences growing up, and some worse than others. I guess I had my share. I was a sensitive kid. I'm still kind of a sensitive guy. That's how God made me. So certain things that did happen to me cut me pretty deep. I'm going to be pretty honest with you this morning. In my early years, my dad was an alcoholic. He wasn't around much. And I just want to say, I'm not going to talk about him again, so I just want to wrap that up by saying my dad and I became good friends and as life went on. So, but when I was young, he wasn't around much. He did drink a lot. He was never harsh to me in most ways, but he just wasn't around. So that was just the way it was. And I didn't think about it much at the time. But looking back, I was always looking for a refuge. I didn't even realize I was doing it. A hiding place, you know. And so for me, we lived on a mountain outside of Lebanon. It was used to be called Tyler Hill. I don't know what it's called now, but we were one of just a few houses up there at the time. Now there's lots of houses. But I used to just go for long walks in the woods. I built a fort out there. It was a refuge for me, and I still like to go walking in the woods. There's just something about it. But that was a place of refuge. You know, I had deep feelings that were going on. I didn't understand it all. But my main outlet for my deep feelings and emotion was music. And I started to take guitar lessons when I was 5 years old. I could barely put my fingers around the guitar. It was a great big guitar. It was my dad's. And that's what we had. It was a nice guitar. Still have it. But it was too big for me. That's why I got some bad habits of playing. But I never quit playing. I didn't put the guitar down and quit for months. I never did that. I always played. I've always, ever since then, I should be super good, and I'm really not that good. I've played a long time. You know, I was constantly playing music. You know, either just me playing or listening to records, you know, from my parents or my sisters. And I listened to all kinds of stuff. My parents were country fans, so I heard all kinds of, lots of Merle Haggard and, all kinds of stuff. And let's see, Tennessee Ernie Ford. You guys remember Tennessee Ernie Ford? Yeah. Mule Trail. Woo! Anyway. Sorry, just came to me. I didn't do that in the first service. I don't know, I just lost my mind there for a minute. well, eventually I became pretty good at the guitar, and I loved pop and rock music. That's what I really liked. And it went down to the deepest part of me. My sisters originally had, like, they really liked the Monkees, and so we had all those records and Mamas and the Papas. I loved it, you know. And then eventually I just loved the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, you know, Bread, the Grassroots, all these older bands now. It was all, most of it was really happy music. And so I was a guy that was sad a lot because I was sensitive. So I liked being happy. And so I would listen to all of this happy music. And I remember my first cassette deck. How many of you remember your first cassette deck? Your first, you know, it was probably like a little player, right? Yeah. Well, that was me. You know, we had a big family. We had, I had five brothers and sisters, so we had six, five plus one. And so we didn't have much money. So I didn't think I would get anything like this. And I'll never forget my mom walking into my bedroom on my birthday, and she had recorded Happy Birthday on my cassette deck. So she was singing it. I'll never forget that. But this cassette deck was so awesome to me because here's what I would do, you guys. I would, every Saturday, I would listen to the radio all day long. Now, you people that are younger, you're going to be like, are you from Mars? Because you didn't have music available to you all the time? Whatever you wanted to listen to? No, I didn't. And many people in here did not. So it was basically, if you had a record, you played it. If you had a tape, you played it. Or you listened to the radio, and I would stick that microphone in front of that radio. And so all day Saturday, I would wait for the good songs. And I would record them. And I played and played and played those cassettes until they broke, and then I fixed them with scotch tape, and then I would listen to both sides of the tape, you know. And so that, I mean, I just, constant. It was so important to me. And I wrote music from when I could first play the guitar. Probably a couple years after I started playing, I wrote my first song. I've written songs ever since. And I express myself through writing songs, and I still do today. You know, if I feel like I do need to express myself in some way, I'll write a song. Lots of them have never seen the light of day. I've been fortunate enough to be a music pastor, so I've had an audience, whether you liked it or not, to hear my songs. And so, but I was blessed with being able to do that. And I didn't know then that God was beginning to shape my life. He had a plan I didn't know anything about, and He gave me the drive and the skill to make music. Psalm 121:8. I wish I would have known this back then. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. The Lord watched over me through all my years of sadness, my years of not knowing Him, my years of trouble, and God was with me. I didn't know it. I started a band when I was in sixth grade, and believe it or not, I had that same band for 11 years, till I was 21. That never happens. You know, most kids, you start a band, you know, it's kind of a fun little thing, little garage band thing, and you know, then you split up and you do your own thing. I was with these guys for 11 years. It was pretty amazing. It was a literal garage band, and we played together a lot. But again, God is preparing me for my life ahead. I can look back now and see how God was preparing me to be a leader. So I led these guys. I led this band for a long time, and I kind of learned. You know, I was such a dictator back then. It was like, it was my way or the highway. It was... You know, if it wasn't the way that I said, if you had a different idea, that's too bad, because I know. And that's just the way it is. Well, fortunately, over time, I've mellowed out, and it took me a while in the church to kind of let go of that. Now, I'm so mellow. These guys have no idea how mellow I am now. It's like, oh, you got an idea? That's great. That's good. Go for it. You know, and it's like they're just used to that. Well, they're not used to me being the dictator. So you can encourage them along the way if you would. Okay. But my band stuck with me all those years. But when I reached high school, things really took a downturn for me. So this would be ninth grade. Some rumors began to be spread about me because of some things that I did and took part in when I was a little kid. And I was absolutely crushed by these rumors and by what girls might think of me, because I really liked girls. And it was a very, very difficult time. It's kind of hard to put into words. A few weeks ago, I mentioned bullying. I was pretty small when I was a freshman in high school, so I don't know, I was just a little over 5 feet probably. And so I got bullied. It's a buzzword the last 10 years, but it's always been around, you know. And so when I got to high school, and these it was kind of combined with these rumors being spread about me, which weren't true. And then there was a hallway that I had to go to class. I had to go through this hallway to get to my class. And we used to call it Goat Roper Hall. Now, no offense to anybody who is a goat roper. You don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? If you are like, yeah, kind of cowboy-ish, that kind of a thing. That's what we used to call the hall, was Goat Roper Hall. So these guys would line up on both sides. They'd have their cowboy hats, and they'd be chewing their whatever. And when I would go through this hall, they'd throw me back and forth. And one day I got thrown into a garbage can upside down. But I mean, I was scared to death of these guys. I hated going to school. I mean, hated. To the point where I would just leave school and just walk the streets of Lebanon. It was an open campus, so you could do that. You could just walk around. So, I mean, I mean, it sounds very sad, but it was sad at the time. I'd walk around town crying my eyes out because I had no place to go. And back then, you know, you just kind of had to man up. That was the way it was. You know, my dad wasn't around much. I wasn't about to tell him. I wasn't about to tell anybody. I just had to deal with it myself. And so that's the way it was. But I know now God was watching. God was planning the whole time. He was forming and shaping my heart. You know, things happen in your life where your heart is just torn. But see, God can use that. God can use that because he majors in mending hearts and putting them back together again. And then it's something awesome. Then it's something awesome that he can do. And I know now that he was forming and shaping my heart. I also didn't know that Jesus would be my true hiding place, and that his music, songs of deliverance, songs of praise, are what would surround me in the future. Psalm 32:7, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. You know, friends, when you see me get excited on the stage sometimes, I didn't so much today because these are songs I don't play very often, so you really have to concentrate. Sorry about that. But see, this is all part of me. This is all part of what makes me excited about Jesus. This is all the junk that I went through, and many of you have also. But that's when I get excited about Jesus, it's not just for fun, even though it is fun, because I mean it. It's because He's everything. He's everything to me. So when I was a sophomore in high school, I had a pretty momentous change happen to me. I decided to go out for track. Now, none of this is bragging. Okay, you guys, say none of this is bragging. Thank you very much. So, I played basketball and things. I love sports. And I knew I could jump pretty good. But all of a sudden, when I became a sophomore, I could, like, jump way high, like out of nowhere. And so I went out for track. I did the high jump. And then there was a guy that was out for the track team. He was a senior. He was a tall, good-looking, blonde-haired guy. And he was very charismatic. He knew all the good-looking girls in school, all the popular girls, and he dated them. I mean, this guy was unbelievable. So he was in the high jump, and for some reason, he liked me. So all of a sudden, I'm hanging out with this guy who's one of the most popular guys in school. So I go from nobody and just terrible to all of a sudden, I'm super popular. Because then, not only, you know, about sports, remember, I'm not bragging, sports, but then people found out that I played the guitar and I had a band. So then, it was great. All of a sudden, and then he had this red Camaro, brand new. So we're cruising all over the place, you know, and I'm with this guy like every day. And now all his friends are my friends. And so I go from down here to up here, and it's just fantastic. And you might think, well, that's great. Your life changed. Fantastic. But what, it wasn't all sunny and rosy. Because, yeah, life was easier for sure. But it also led me down another path. Because hanging out with all these guys, there were a few of them that would get high. Not most of them. Most of them were sports guys. But then all of a sudden, everybody started doing it. We went to a Fleetwood Mac concert. I used to go to a lot of concerts back then. And that was the first time I ever got high. And just marijuana. It was a big deal at the time. But then that just began a road where I started taking, you know, other drugs, you know, whether it was, I mean, it sounds terrible when I say these things. It was just part of my life, you know. It was harder drugs, you know. I got to cocaine, speed, acid, chocolate mescaline, mushrooms, all kinds of stuff. You know, whatever was around, I took it. And being in rock and roll, you know, it kind of enhances the experience. That's the life. My heroes were all like that. They all, you know, that was huge back then, even though some of them were dying. You just ignored that, you know. And so that was just life. So I barely graduated high school because I just didn't care. I was going to be a rock star, you know. But I was able to graduate. I missed exactly how many days I could miss. The last 2 weeks, I had to go to every day of school. I'll never forget that. And so, yeah, I had it all worked out how I could graduate, yet, you know, not have to do anything, basically. So that's how I made it. So now over the next 4 years after high school, my band was my world, literally. And I turned down college for the band. I was able to go to college, and I didn't go. We practiced 5 days a week. So we became really good. And so we played lots of places, you know, it was lots of dives, but some pretty good ones, you know. Fairs were always fun. Frat parties, there'd be huge ones where they would all get together, and so that was like about Oregon State, you know. So that was all great, but then there'd be dive bars, and there'd be nightclubs, you know. Some were good, some weren't good. I got lots and lots of stories from all of those times. Yes, I will leave those for another day. You know, it's not glamorous. You're sleeping on floors, you know. People think, oh, that's great. You're in a band. You're playing all the time. How great is that? Well, there's really good times, you know, like the time we jumped a train. That was kind of fun. I won't go into that whole deal. But we did jump off in time before it got going too fast. But I was in and out of relationships. I was living the rock and roll dream, whatever that is. And we partied and we partied and we partied. Now, somewhere in the middle of the craziness, I had been out till 4 a.m. and I was by myself and I fell asleep at the wheel and my parents' brand new truck, my poor parents, I totaled 2 vehicles of theirs. Yes, and I almost did a third, but I won't tell that story. But I went off the road, and the truck ended up flipping. I really don't know how many times, but the top was squished down all the way to the seat, except for right where I was sitting. So right next to me was all the way to the seat. I would have been killed, or whoever was sitting there would have been killed. And so I know now, my only explanation is an angel was there to protect me. And so that was kind of the life. And I had lots of other moments that I could tell you about that were extremely dangerous. And I remember crawling out the window in the pouring rain that night, walking several miles up the mountain to my parents' home. Of course, as you can imagine, they were thrilled by that whole deal. But John 10, 28 and 29 says this, "I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." When I didn't know him, God was keeping me in his hand. I can look back now. God knew my future, and he wasn't going to let me go. I had no idea. So near the end of this four-year period after high school, we were to play at this bar, and it really wasn't a very nice bar, but for some reason, they paid a lot of money, and it was the most money we were ever going to make, and so we were excited because, you know, hand to mouth. I mean, it was a tough life. And you'd make money playing, even if you played all the time, and you just have to buy more equipment all the time. And so right before we were about to play, my lead singer, I wasn't the lead singer, I sang about a third of the songs, he decided to become a Christian. And so he said, I can't do this gig, I'm done. And I was so mad. And we had this meeting, and me being the leader, there's a lot of people in the room for some reason. I just chewed him out. But he did not crack. And he said, "No, I can't do it. I'm not doing it." So we played the gig anyway. But I didn't know half the lyrics, you know. We didn't have iPads back then or anything. And so I didn't even have them on the floor, you know. I just had them memorized. Well, I only sang a third of the song, so I didn't know the lyrics. He played rhythm guitar. I played lead guitar. I had to play both parts. And we were terrible, terrible that night. And we were so bad that we got heckled. I had never been heckled in my life. And it was awful, you know, me being the sensitive person I am. I was deeply offended. This is a crazy thing. I lost picks. I had no picks, guitar picks. And so I couldn't just play, like, you know, because a lot of the things I do, I mean, I'd be bleeding all over the place, which did happen. So finally, a guy said, "You know, you can use a matchbook." So I used a matchbook to play, which didn't work out very well. We were awful. And it was so bad that night. It was so funny after it was over. The guy that just was hassling me all night long, after it was over, he goes, "Hey, you guys aren't too bad." I'm like, ugh. But that was the end of the band. And so I was pretty depressed after this. This was my life. This is what I was going to do. And so after a brief time, my friend who had quit the band, he invited me to church. I said I'd go, but I had this softball game first. So I went to this softball game. And it was a close game. It was a league game. Went late. So I had made a promise to my friends that I was going to go to church. And I was a lot of things back then. But if I told somebody I was going to do something, I did it. Well, it was getting to the late innings. It was going late. And my friends were like, "We got to go." And I said, "All right, I'm going." Well, my friends, you know, this is what the devil does too. He doesn't want you. He'll do the last little thing so that you don't come to Christ. He'll do little things. And this was it for me. It was like, okay, I need to be here for my friends for this game, but yet I told these other friends I would go to church with them. And for some reason, I said, "I'm going to church with my friend, with these other guys." And so my friends on the team were so mad because then they were down a player. So I left. I went to church with these guys, And the first person I met, believe it or not, was Teresa. And like I said in the first service, it really was no big meeting. It was just, I remember her coming and she introduced herself. And if you knew Teresa, she was like always kind of looking past you when she was talking to you because she was so social. She was looking out for other people that she might know. And so it was like, she'd go like, oh, hi, yeah, I'm Teresa. And she, you know, and she was gone. So that was that. That was that chance meeting. But anyway, I got into the church and people were sincerely nice to me, which was new. Strangers were nice. Like they'd shake my hand, look me right in the eye. Now, I didn't know a lot of these people had been praying for me because there was this prayer meeting, a pretty large prayer meeting called 714. It was this Bible scripture. And so they were kind of guessing. I had long hair back then, and friends, I miss my hair. Every once in a while, I'll go like this on accident, and oh! There's more truth to that than you know. God, help me. Help me. But no, I went into this church and everybody was so nice. I just wasn't used to this, you know, strangers. You know, nobody's high, nobody's drunk. You know, it's not a party. And so I was just taking this all in, going, whoa, this is not what I expected, you know. And I'm not putting down the Catholic Church when I say this. But it just wasn't that way in the Catholic Church because it's just a whole different vibe. You know, you're quiet when you come into church. I get all that. It's just a different way of doing things. It's okay. But for me, I just wasn't used to it, you know. And so all these strangers being super nice and loud, you know, in church. And I was like, wow, this is different. So then we went up into the balcony. And then there were people. They started playing a few songs. People standing, raising their hands. I stayed seated. My friend stood. I was the only person seated, but I was just watching, you know. My friends were thinking I hated it, but I was really just going, wow, this is really interesting. And then people were raising their hands, singing, and as you've heard me share this before, my thought, I'll never forget this, I thought, they think someone's listening. They really think someone's listening to them. And I thought, that is really interesting. Because I just thought, well, nobody knows for sure about God. Could be. You know, that's kind of where I was at. But these people seem to really believe it. So I was just looking. My friends, they told me later, they thought, oh, we thought you were hating it. We thought you were going to get up and leave. So then what happened next was they had a children's choir presentation thing. And of course, again, my friends are like, we get Roger Huttley to church finally, and it's a children's musical. They're like, no. They were like, oh no. So, but little did they know, this is exactly what spoke to me. Because it was so pure. It was just so, you know, from my world, guys, I lived a total life of sin, and I don't need to tell you everything that involves, that goes with that, but that's where I came from. And now, here are these cute little kids, and there's a whole bunch of them. It was a big church, and they're carrying these flags, I remember, quite clear, of all these different countries. And I mean, it was organized. These kids were not misbehaving. I'm like, how in the world did they get these kids to do this? And so I'm watching this whole thing, and it was just so pure and good, and combined with the friendly people, the people who thought that God was real, all of that, I was like blown away. I was like, this is the best thing I've ever seen. This is what I want. Well, there was no call that night, and I don't know if I would have responded anyway, but I went back to my friend's house. It was a long conversation, and in the end, that night, I accepted Christ as my Savior. Now, the next morning, and I didn't feel any different, by the way. I felt nothing. But my friends kept going, you're in, you're in. And I go, into what? And they go, you're going to heaven now. And I'm like, okay, I don't feel anything. And they go, you will. Well, I did. So the next morning I woke up, and I've shared this many times again with you, but only thing I compare it to is the Wizard of Oz, because it was like going from Kansas. My dad was from Kansas, and there ain't a whole lot in Kansas. Kansas, no offense, Shannon, wherever you are, Kansas to Oz. And it was like, I woke up, I opened my eyes, and it was like, whoa. The Holy Spirit was in me. I didn't know that. I didn't know what was going on. But all of a sudden, I knew everything was different. And so I got up out of bed just going, what in the world is going on? What is this? It's like all of a sudden I had these scales come from my eyes. It was like when Dorothy opens the door and everything's color. I'm like, wow. So I go to work. I worked at a restaurant at the time, and I had to clean the parking lot. And I was out there doing that. And I could see sin everywhere. I had never seen it before. I saw it in signs. I saw it on people's shirts. I saw it, things that people would say. I mean, by the end of the day, I was exhausted. I was like, how come I never saw this before? I mean, but at the same time, I was like walking on air. It was just unbelievable, brand new. Everything was new. So why did I feel like I was floating on air? And I'll tell you why. It's because I had been saved from my sins. And I knew it. I didn't know the verbiage, but I knew I was going to heaven. I knew it was real, and I knew that something happened to me, and God was in it, and I knew that I was saved from my sins, and that God knew everything about me, and He still loved me. I mean, I didn't know all the jargon. I didn't know the Christian terms for what had happened to me. You know, even today, when I get up here today, whenever I speak, I try not to use a lot of Christian verbiage, just for those who don't know. And I wouldn't have known what it meant, you know, redeemed or whatever it might be. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what the word grace meant for a long time. But everything was new. So when I say today that Jesus came to save us from our sins, I know of what I'm speaking. I do. Nobody can take that away from me, no matter what happens. Jesus gave me new life, a new hope, and a lifetime to get to know Him. If I can have the worship team come up, that'd be great. Isaiah 53:6 says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray." This is what I read earlier. "Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all." It was nothing that I did. If anybody can stand up here and say, I know what grace means, it's me. Because it was nothing I did. I did everything wrong. And in one moment, God said, Now you're mine. Not going anywhere. Now you're mine. Just like that. Because that's what He does. That's what He does. And He was with me all along, and I never knew it. Wherever I go, whatever I do, I take heart because I know that God is with me and He cares about me. When I didn't know Him and was going my own way, He was watching over me and was preparing me for the day I would recognize my need for Him, and He would give me new life and a new future. You know, I had a lot of sad days back then, and it wasn't just when I was in high school, doing all the drugs and all that stuff. Oh, there were some terrible, terrible nights. Yeah, for every good time I can tell you, I can give you a dozen bad. But that's that life. And sad. A lot of sadness. But I thank God for the joy of the Lord. I thank God for hope. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. If I could just have everybody bow their heads for a moment, I just want to ask a quick question. Maybe you're in this place, and maybe something that I've said has rung a bell with you, and maybe your life isn't where you think you want it to be. And maybe you're saying, I need Jesus in my life. I think I need Jesus. I didn't realize I did, but maybe I do now. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. That'd be fantastic if you would. All right, so let's all pray. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for who you are. Lord, thank you that you never leave us. You say you'll never forsake us. That no matter what we go through, you're going to be right there with us. So Lord, I want to pray over this people here, my family, Lord God, and I want to pray, Lord Jesus, that you would make yourself known in ways you never have before. Because we can, Lord, we can use all kinds of religious verbiage. We can quote scripture. We can do all this stuff. But in the end, the reality is Jesus is real and wants to walk with us every step of the way and talk with us all the way to heaven. So we thank you for it, Lord. We love you. We just give you our hearts today in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.